Today is part four of what we've called choices, and this is our last message, and hopefully you've enjoyed it. Hopefully it's challenged you. Hopefully it's made you look at your life and where you're at and the choices that you've made up until now, and more so the choices that you're making from now forward, because again, we're the choices that we made in our past have brought us to where we're at right now, right? I was talking last night to a gentleman, and we were sitting there, and we talked about our past and our testimony and the things that God has brought us out of, and drugs, alcohol, different things, and his story was a lot like mine, and he has a doctor in theology and runs a Bible college and does different things, and he said it's funny how that area of my life that Satan tried to take away, God uses now. Like, that wasn't the plan that God had for me. Like, God didn't want me to have to go through those things. I put myself there on my own, right? We put ourselves in these places. And it's not God's plan and God's will for that to happen to us. But how many of you know, because that has happened, he can bring good out of the situations, right? I told him, I said, man, I wish I hadn't have made those choices. But at the same time, it made me who I am today. It put me in the places that I am today. I wouldn't have the things in my life. I wouldn't have my wife. I wouldn't have my kids. I there was a lot of things that I would not have if the path that I have been on didn't happen. And I can look back and say, man, I don't like those choices, and I wish I never would have done that. How many of you have those in your life? Like, I wish I never would have done that. Most of the time it comes after I say something to my wife. I'm like, I wish I hadn't have done that, right? Some choices are bad. We need to remember that before we make them. Before we make them, we need to look and understand that if we've had bad choices in the past, it doesn't make us a bad person. It just means we need to change the choices. We need to change the way that we're thinking and the way that we're doing things. And the choices that we make today are going to determine where we're going to go in the future. But this is the thing. So yesterday, man, yesterday was a hard day. It was a hard day. I thought it went really, really well, but it was a very hard day. I love Papa Lawrence, man. And I was dreading the whole time having to do his funeral. But one of the stories that they told about him was this, right? He said when they were both young, I think Jamie said he was 9, so I think Rodney said he was 12, and I don't know where that puts Tanya at, but they were young. And they said they had a family meeting, and Papa Torrance came in, and he said, we've been doing things one way, and it's not working. So we're going to make a change today. And he put a Bible on the table and said, this is what we're going to follow as a family. This, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what he said. And from there, they said, we were very young, but we still saw the changes in the things happening. We still saw things moving in a different direction. And because of the choices he made, that choice that he made that day for our family, now not only our family, but hundreds, probably thousands of other people are impacted because of that one decision that one man made. Right? Not only his fans, so he was a football coach. He loved football. So he followed the scripture, and I said this yesterday. He followed the scripture where it says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it, right? It doesn't say train up your child, right? Does it say train up your child in the way that it should go? It says, no, train up a child. Train up the children that are around us. It's our job to teach those kids that are next door the way to live. That they should serve God, that they should follow God. It's our job, and I'm squirreling, y'all. I'm going to come back to my notes in a minute, but this is good, I think. So we need to teach our these kids. I don't have kids right now. You do. You have kids that are running around this place that need to see you glorifying God, you worshiping God, you living a life outside of this building for Christ. Some of you know it's really easy to live a life for Christ in this building. Really easy. As soon as you pull in the parking lot, you ever seen somebody just swatting the fire out of the kids in the back seat and then pull in the parking lot and everybody's... I've been in a car like that once, y'all. It was rough. Okay, maybe more than once. I was in the back seat, just so you know. That may be the reason for it, right? But the choices that we make, we show the people around us, our choices not only impact our lives, but many other people. How many people don't come to church because of Christians? Be honest. which I don't understand because there's hypocrites at Walmart and they still go there, right? But I get the point. I get the point. Choices that we make, the decisions that we make. Our decisions, our choices affect other people. Today, we're going to talk, and like I said, I'm going to meddle a little bit, y'all, so I hope y'all don't mind. If you do, it's okay, you can leave. But if somebody has to leave in the middle, don't be like, well, they were mad at him saying something, so they let. That's not it. There's a couple people I'll take off in a minute, and it's good. So today we're going to talk about, I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to say this. You ready? I will choose God's way over my way. Some of y'all didn't even do it because it's difficult, right? We want it to be our way, right? I want it my way. Look at our society today. If it's not my way, I get to throw a fit. I get to be mad. I get to yell and scream and do everything that I'm not supposed to do because I'm not happy with what's going on, right? And that's where we live at today. The places that we go to, Burger King. I'm picking on Burger King. I really like Whoppers, y'all, but I'm picking on them for a minute. What is their slogan? Have it your way. You ever got something from there and it wasn't the way you wanted it? You went back? What happened? They got mad at you. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought it was my way. This ain't my way. I didn't want onions on my burger. And you put, well, I'm mad because I put my onions on your burger and you didn't want it. That's funny. But you know what? We do that to God all the time. Right? He showed us his way in this. And we do it a different way. Then when it's brought to our attention, we're mad because it's brought to our attention. Well, you just always want it your way. I remember I was a kid. I mean, we were all kids, but this one time, my dad, right? He got on to me because I did something in the house I wasn't supposed to do. And I was so mad. I looked at my mama and I said, "He thinks he owns the place." Or no, I was so. Let me say. I'm gonna say. This is what my mom did. This is my mom's way, y'all. I was mad and I was. My mom looked at me. She said, "He acts like he owns the place, don't he?" I said, "He sure does." And she said, "That's because he does. That's because he." You know, that was just one of those moments, right? Right. But how many times are we that little kid to God? How many times are we that little kid to God? Some of you guys, it was really hard to say. I want you to say it again. I will choose God's way over my way. So some of you guys, it was really easy to say, right? How many of it just like rolled off your tongue and you have no issues with it? But now living it might be a whole nother ballgame, right? Paul tells us that in the scripture. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Like we all say, I want to live my life God's way. I want to do it the way God wants me to do it. I want to follow him. I want to live a life that's worthy of Christ and the sacrifice that he made. I want to live my life showing other people how good he is. I want to live a life of peace and of joy. I want to live that life. But then when it comes time to live it, we really want to do it our own way. And have God bless it, right? Or, y'all ready? We want the blessings of God, but not the responsibilities that come with it. We want all of the things that God's word promises and that God's word says, but we want to live our life our way. We want salvation. We want a Savior, but we don't want a Lord, right? We want to get out of hell free card, but we want to live our life exactly the way that we want to live it. Just being honest. How many of you know it doesn't work that way? It doesn't work that way. And it's one thing to say it, but it's a whole other thing to live it out. You know why I struggle sometimes preaching up here, y'all? Because the issues that I'm preaching about are exactly what I'm dealing with and struggling with. I'm like, and I think like, you are the biggest hypocrite because you're up here telling them what the Word of God says and how they can overcome the situation, and you're battling it with yourself. And this is what helps me out through it. Although I need to not look at it this way, but this is the way I look at it. All right, y'all ready? I look at it as just because I don't do it doesn't mean I don't know how it's supposed to work. right? How many of you can look at somebody else's life and tell them exactly what they need to do with their situation? Like, hey, look, you need to do this. I go back to a buddy of mine, man. We were trying to get out of debt, and we was $3,000 in credit card debt. And he said, you need to do this, this, and this. I was like, wait a minute. How much credit card debt you got? He's like, $40,000. I'm like, I ain't listening to you. How you going to tell me how to get out? He said, just because I don't do it doesn't mean I don't understand it. I have a friend who's a fitness trainer. And he one of them is very, very good shape. One of them is so out of shape, it's ridiculous, y'all. I'm like, how can you be a fit? Like, he said, just because I understand how it works doesn't mean that I live it out. And the problem is with Christianity, just because we understand how it works doesn't mean that we live it out. Doesn't mean that we walk the way that we should. It's hard for us to give up control. Like, it's hard for us, like, it's hard to even say it. Some of y'all, like I said a minute ago, I said, turn to your neighbor, say this. Like, I ain't saying it. I'm keeping my control. You might have one of those garages, right? So clean it should be on one of those HGTV shows, right? Everything goes in a certain place. Don tells a story about his dad. He said, Daddy says he could use anything in the shed. He could use anything. But if it was sitting here, if he came back and it was here, he was in trouble. Because it was supposed to be here, not here. And he knew where everything was, and it was organized that way. And you could use anything there. But if you didn't put it back exactly like it was, I mean, you're going to have problems, right? That's what he said. My garage ain't that way, y'all, at all. I think I know where everything's at, sort of, in there. And it's just, I need to work on that, right? The pots go in a certain place. The tools go in this certain place. This goes there. And you can't put it any other way. It has to be that way. Or maybe you have to. When I lived in Louisiana and I first got up there, I stripped and waxed floors. And so one of the jobs I did on the side to pick up some extra money was I cleaned one of my wife's office building. Well, the man that owned it was a very difficult, not a difficult man, but he was very particular about everything. You know those people. It has to be a certain way. Well, the vacuum lines on the floor had to be a certain way, right? You know how hard it is to put diagonals in a square room? Like, if it was just all diagonal and you didn't have no corners. But, like, how do you get the flat. How do you get it so that it goes? It's difficult. But that's the way it had to be. Some people are like that about their lawns, right? It has to be a certain way. It has to be like this, and it has to be that way, and it has to be my way. Maybe it's about your kids. Maybe your kids have to do things the exact certain way, the way I want them to do it. They're like 30, y'all. Let them go, right? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe you're very controlling, and it has to be this way, or I'm going to make your life miserable if you don't do things the way I want it to be done. We laugh at certain things, but this is the reality. There are relationships that are like that. There are families that are like that. There are people who act that way about their kids. If you don't do this, I'm gonna ground you till you're 30, right? I'm grounded forever. I know you're 2, but it's okay. You better do it right. We make fun of it and laugh, and it is funny, but this is the thing. We all have issues with control. With my wife, it's driving. Right? Man, I get to grab the dash, all those things while I'm driving. And the car's like a mile away, y'all. I'm like, they're braking. I'm like, I can't even see it. It's so far up there. What? Like, I get it. I'm watching the road, right? It's hard. Some people love to feel out of control. That's why we have roller coasters, y'all, right? Some people hate it. If I'm not in control, I can't function. And the reality of it is that control is an issue that we have sometimes. Now, control is good in moderation. Amen? It's one of those things. Fear is one of those things. Fear is good in moderation. It's there for a purpose, there for a reason. But if we allow it to control our lives, again, control, it's a bad thing. We need to understand that God wants to have control of our lives. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to be humble, right? He wants us to understand that we cannot do it in our own strength. And this is just a side note, but if you can do it in your own strength, it may not be from God. It might not be a bad thing, but how many of you, God stretches you to do the things that you have to do? He stretches you. You know how many times I look at this and I say, I can't be a pastor. I can't do this. I can't. But you know what? With God's help, I can. And the help of the people that he's put in my life and around me to support me and to lift me up and to go through it, I can. I can. But you know what? If I don't let go of it and I hold on to it, guess what ends up happening? It ends up crumbling. It ends up having issues. I was so happy yesterday, y'all. I was so happy yesterday because we as a church, we're doing the potluck dinner. And there were two ladies that said, look, we got this. You go. Don't even think about it. So do you know what? I could have controlled it and been like, no, you have to do it this way. You have to, I want it like this. I want it like, no, you, that table has to go over there because that's the way it's in my head, right? I could have been that way, but how many of you know that's not the way it needed to be? My focuses need to be elsewhere. And the problem is that we're trying to control things that we don't need to control. And when we're focusing on these things, we're losing sight of the things that we do really need to be taken care of in our lives. I want to read a scripture to you. You ready? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We've all heard it a ton of times. We probably can quote it. But I want us to hear it today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in him. Sometimes we get so familiar with things, we lose the power behind it. We get so accustomed to it, it doesn't. We don't allow it to affect us in the way that it should. We get so comfortable, so what's the word? Where you get so complacent. There you go. See? I just let go of control there for the service just for a second. I'm taking it back now. I want to show you the same verse but in a different version. You guys ready? The Good News Translation says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's God's way. Never rely on what you think you know. That's our way. Remember the Lord in everything that you do, and he will show you the right way. Why should we pick God's way? Because it's the right way. Because it's the right way. Everything we do, we need to look to him. But here's the problem. The more we try to control, and the more that we're afraid of losing control, the more we're afraid of losing control. The more we're afraid of losing control, the more we try to control, so the more we lose control. And then we're afraid of losing control, and so we try to control more. And we get so far out of what it's a circle. And we get stuck in it. And because of that, we're not able to do what we're supposed to do. We end up living in a cycle of fear because we have to control everything. And we end up not only messing up our lives, but the relationships that God's put in our life. Why? Because all we try to do is control it. We need to understand that we need to look to God. And we need to say this. Not my way, but your way. God's way over my way. Everybody say it again. God's way over my way. We're going to say it like 16 times before we leave, so that way we'll remember it. You'd be like, what's the point? Like, all I remember is God's way over my way, man. That's it. That's all I got. I want to show you an example in the scripture of not allowing God to have control, of giving it to him and then taking it back. How many of you know we're really good at that too? God, I give you everything, but except, hold up, let me get that back from you. I'm going to keep this one right here in case. Y'all ready for me to to quote a country song? Garth Brooks, we bury the hatchet, but we leave the handle sticking out, right? We're going to give it to you, but I'm going to leave it right there just in case I need to pick that thing back up again. That's what happens. Problem is when we try to take control, we hardly ever get it right. So there's a story about Abraham and Sarah. Most of you guys have heard it. The verses, they refer to Abram and Sarai, but later God changes their name to Abraham and Sarah. If there's anybody that battled with control issues, it was these two. They were waiting for a child, and they wanted a child more than anything. If you understand the culture, not having a child, very bad thing. Very, very bad thing. And God promised Abraham, he says, you will be the father of many nations. And Abraham said, yes, that's incredible. It's amazing. And then what happened? Nothing for a really long time. Month after month went by, year after year went by. Over 25 years of waiting for a promise, and nothing happened. How many of you know we want it my way, right away? It's like J.G. Wentworth, my money, I want it now, right? That's what we, so it's mine, I want it now. Give it to me. I don't want to wait. We see it in our lives all the time, right? We see young married couples, they get married, they want exactly what their parents have had, not understanding that it's taken their parents 25 to 30 years to get to where they're at right now. And it was a process, and when they started, they were right where they were at, but because they didn't go straight for everything that everybody else had, they were able to build and accrue the things that they do have. And it's a process. We need to understand that there's sometimes we need to let go of control and let God show us and let God's promises take root in our life. Now, saying that, I want to say this as well. I mean, you know, we need to do our part in what he's called us to do, right? We do the natural. He does the supernatural. That's the way that it works. What if I, just thinking, this is how my brain works. What if I was just sitting at home this week and I was like, God, I want what you want me to preach for this message. So I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to preach whatever you put on that paper, God. Whatever you say, God, I'm going to do it. Just put it on that paper, God. Is that the way God works? No. Y'all come here on Sunday, I'm like, we're just going to sing all day today and let the Spirit move, right? That's what we're going to do because I didn't prepare nothing because I didn't do what? I didn't do my part. I didn't pray. I didn't seek. I didn't study. I didn't get in the Word. I didn't do the things that I should do, that I needed to do to make this thing happen. Amen? So we need to remember this. But we also need to understand that there are some things we need to allow God to do. If he's made the promise, guess what? His Word is good. Amen? He does not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will do it according to the Scripture. So this is what happened. After 25 years of waiting, Sarah did what many of us do. When God's timing doesn't line up with her timing, she decides to make it work. She decides to take control of the situation and bring about the promise in her own way. This is the perfect example of control gone bad. Not doing it God's way, but doing your own. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children. She was a female Egyptian servant. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai and Abram told Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So go to my servant. Now what she was doing is she said, I'm not happy with God being in control. I'm going to take control because I don't like what's happening. It's not happening fast enough. It's not happening the way that I planned it. It's not happening the way that I think that it should go. God needs to line up with what I'm doing. Right? That's basically what she was saying. And then it says this, it may be that I shall obtain a child by her. Look, here's a good option. You can have a child from her, and then you have a child, and it could be our child, but this is how it's going to work because God's not working fast enough. I just had a thought. I ain't going to say it, though. Y'all might understand when I read this next verse. But Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar again. What did he do? It's not happening the way that I want. Here's another way that could happen. Let's do this. I want to have control of this situation. I want to make this promise come about. And she conceived. And when they saw that she conceived, then she looked at contempt on her mistress. How many of you know, once we do things the wrong way, then we're mad at the people who helped us do them that wrong way. I'm just... Just a thought, Hagar was a servant. It's not like she could say, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't want to do that, right? Like she had no choice in the matter. It was just like, here, this is what you're doing. Okay, thank you, right? So even if she chose not to do it, she couldn't. But then what happened? I did it a different way, and now I'm mad at the person who had no choice about me doing it this way that helped me do what I said I needed to do. How many know she's probably mad at Abraham too? It don't say it, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So what we see is that God made a promise, but the timing wasn't lining up with their timing, so they took control, and control went bad. You know what happens next? You don't know, let me tell you. It's mind-blowing how the one controlling situation ends up impacting people for centuries to come. Hagar ended up getting pregnant, gave a son they called Ishmael. Then later, Sarah conceived, just like God had promised. Just because of their disobedience doesn't mean God didn't bring through his promise. Now, don't be disobedient and still expect the promise. Man, do us right, right? Because this is what ends up happening. There's a price that is paid for disobedience. There's a price that's paid. Later, Sarah conceived just as God had promised, and God gave her a son, and they named him Isaac. If you look at the lineage of Ishmael and Isaac, it's wild. Out of Ishmael, you actually have the Palestinians and Muhammad. And out of Isaac, you have the Jewish nation. You also have Christ. Centuries later, there is tension between the Palestinians and the Jews and Israel. The conflict that they have, that we now see centuries later, stems from a choice that someone made because they wanted to take their own control. And we think that our choices, even the small ones, don't really matter all that much, and they're not going to have an impact. But you know what? The choices that you make every day are going to impact your kids, the people that are around you, for centuries, good or bad. Good or bad. I love the fact, again, yesterday, man, we got to celebrate. Papa Torrance made a choice and a decision. Now look at his family and where they're at. They all serve the Lord. They're a family. Air family got issues, right? You fight with, I fight with my sister, but you fight with my sister, we got issues. Me and you got problems, right? I can be mad at her as I can be, but don't you be mad at her. It don't work that way. That's not how it works. That's family, right? The choices that we make today impact. The choices that he made years ago have impacted his life, and not only his life, but countless others. This situation where I have to have control of this situation, God, I know you promised me, but I'm going to help make it happen. It ends up bad. It's not happening in my timing, so I'm going to make it happen. I don't know who or what it is that you're going through or being tempted with, but I'm going to tell you what, God has a plan. Don't take control of it. Let him have it. If he's given you something, stay by it. Problem is, we don't see it coming. We don't understand it coming. And so we choose poorly. And we suffer for it. As a youth pastor, man, I saw a lot of people make commitments to God. I saw a lot of people, especially with relationships, right? Like the young ladies say, man, I'm not going to date anybody unless they're Christians, unless they follow God, unless they're in line with where I want to go. And then as they're on their search and on their look, they find this person and they really like them, guys, girls, both of them, it happened. They find them and they think this thought. They can't find a single Christian guy, so they just settle for a guy, right? I know I'm not supposed to be unequally yoked, but she really does have a cute smile, you know? It's over time, they'll change. I'm just gonna be real with y'all. It doesn't change for the good most times in situations. I know countless people who was their mentality going in, and they're still battling it today. Years later, they're still battling it today. Why? Because it was a choice. It was a lowering of my standard. I don't see the promise that God has for me, so I'm going to try and help make it happen. It's not just in kids, man. It's not just in our relationships. And it's in our financial issues. It's in our finances. You know what? According to God's word, he'll provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. Not just some of them, right? All of our needs. Problem is, he provides our needs. He puts in our hands the things that we need, and we use them for something else. And then we're mad because God didn't provide what he said he was going to provide. I love the story about my dad. He tells it, man. He tells it better than me because it's his story. But he was believing God for some money to pay a certain thing. And it was a couple months out that he had to pay it. And he started believing God. They started believing God. And little by little, a little bit of money would come in. They would take us to McDonald's. And a little bit of money would come in. And we would go do this. And a little bit of money would come in. We didn't usually have a whole lot of money. I don't know if y'all know that. Some pastors don't get paid like a whole bunch, you know. Some people, churches struggling. We were in West Virginia and doing things, and he was believing God, send it. And what happened was this: about a month before he was supposed to have it, maybe 3 weeks, he said, "God, how come you haven't come through and given this to me?" And he said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Listen, I've been sending it to you a little bit at a time. And you've been using it for something else. I'm going to give you the rest of it like I promised. I've already given you what I've promised you. You're going to have to make up the rest of it. You're going to have to make up what you didn't do right with." You know, there in the scripture, there's many ideas, many different things of what people think the Bible says about giving, about tithes, about offerings, about all those different things. And again, it says that we must determine in our heart what we must give, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. But I'm going to tell you what. In here lines out what our finances are supposed to look like. That's why the class that they teach is so important to go through, the Crown Financial class. And I don't think we've started it yet. Have we started it yet? We have another week. So if you haven't gotten in it and you want to get in it, see them after church today. We only have a couple people in the class. It's going to be a smaller class. So if you want to be a part of it, see them. And I promise you, you start to put those principles in your life, things will change. You say, well, I don't have it to be able to give. Well, scripture says that God puts in your hands the things that you need. It's there. Maybe we're putting it in a different place. Maybe we're using it in a different area. I know people get funny when you talk about money, and I don't want to make you guys upset or angry, but I'm going to tell you what. It's my job to tell you what this thing says. And it says to be obedient. And all throughout the scripture that we see, obedience brings blessing. Obedience opens up doors. Obedience. It's in the scripture. Now you say, well, you're putting me under a law. You're saying you have to do those things. No. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is a gift. You get it. You can't earn it. But what we do with our salvation after that is up to us. The people that we impact. The things that we do. How we use the gifts that he's given us. I remember the sign right now. It just came to my head. God's gift. The abilities that he's given you is his gift to you. How you use those gifts is your gift to him. All right? God gives us gifts. He gives us abilities. He gives us talents. And see, that was a good sign, right? It's over there. You can go see it later. He gives us those things as a gift to us. The abilities that we have. The wisdom that he gives to us about certain things. Like certain people can work on a car, and I look at it, and I know where the gas goes, right? And I know it has a battery. And Shane taught my wife how to change oil, so she's the oil changer in the family now. And I just, you need a wrench, babe? Here you go. That's it. I like it, right? I did that the other day, didn't I, Shane? It was a couple days ago, right before they left. I did good. I was like, "Here, oh, you need one of those? Here it is." I like it. "You're doing good, babe." That's how it was. It was amazing. But you know what? We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. I can build stuff with wood. I can. I don't do it often, but I can, right? I can do. There's people that. Man, John knows electric. He knows building houses. He knows all those different things. Rusty. Rusty does different things. There's so many of it. Rob knows plants and how to grow them and what goes good and what goes. And I can't go around. Dr. Steve, man, he knows about theology. You got a Bible question? Go see him about it. Right? There's so many of us that are around that have amazing abilities and amazing talents that he's given to us so that we can use. But you know what happens if we try to control every aspect, every area of our life, our abilities and our talents don't get used the way that they should. Why? Because we're not willing to step out. We're not willing to follow what God has for us. And we're not willing to be obedient to his word. We want the blessing without the responsibility. We want the blessing without the responsibility. Maybe it's your kids that you want to control. Maybe little Johnny, we don't have no kids named Johnny over there, so I'm going to use little Johnny. Little Johnny has a science paper due, and because I want him to do really, really good, and I want him to get a good grade, I'm going to do it for him, and I'm going to let him take it. I'm going to help him get it done. How many of you know that doesn't help little Johnny? That hurts little Johnny. I read a Huffington Post article, right? Of recent college graduates, 8% actually bring one of their parents to their job interviews with them. 8% of college graduates bring their parents with them to their job interview. You could say, no, it was in the Huffington Post, man. I think it's pretty good. I didn't fact check them or anything, but they call this helicopter parenting because they just hover over other kids, right? Trying to control their lives, and I'm going to give you a tip. If you're young, it's free. This is just a bonus here. Leave your mom in the car if you're going to a car interview. You're welcome. There you go. Maybe we need to let some kids go. Maybe we need to stop controlling some things. Not abandon them, but let them figure some things out for themselves. I was thinking about this morning. So my kids, they wanted to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the other day, right? So I opened the lid for them, and then I let them have it. And I was like, let me make it for you. And they're like, nope, I'm making it. I'm like, okay. So they made it. It was Shelby, the little one, and she made it, and she had a clump of peanut butter about this big in the middle of the loaf of bread that was that big, and she had a little clump of jelly in it that was that big, and she spread it, so it made about a spot this big in the middle of the bread that big. And then she started to eat her sandwich, and she was unhappy with it because she didn't have no peanut butter and jelly on it, right? Now, I let her do it. Now I had her eat it, too. I said, no, you're going to eat the sandwich. You made it, right? That's, the consequences we have, right? I'm like, no, you're not going to just throw it away because you didn't do it the way that you thought you wanted it. It didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to be. Now we're gonna have a learning lesson now. I wanted to make it for you, and I would have made it the best that I could. Do you like it when I make your sandwich? She's like, I love it when you make the sandwich. I was like, okay, if you'll let me make it sometimes or let me show you how I make it, then you can do it. Later, you want me to show you why you didn't like it? She's like, yes. I was like, because you put everything right here and you spread it just right there. And now you got a whole bunch of bread with no stuff, right? She's like, yeah, it's horrible. There you go. It's teaching. But you know what? I'm not just going to control her and say, you're never making a sandwich because you didn't do it right. I'm going to let her make the sandwich next time and I'm going to stand there with her. I'm going to help when she wants it. You know, I'm going to stop. In your notes, I want you to think this thought. I want you to think of something. I want you to name what you're trying to control in your life. This is for you. You can share it with your neighbor if you want, or you can keep it to yourself. Or you could just keep it in your mind and not write it on your paper. Then nobody can cheat, right? Nobody knows. It's a secret. There's something in our lives that we all try to hold on to, that we all try to control. I'm convinced, no matter who you are, how long you've served Christ, no matter how long you've lived on this earth, there's still some things that you refuse to let go of. What is it? Is it a person? Is it a thing? Is it a circumstance? I want you to think about it. Give it a name. You can write it on your paper or just write it in your mind. What are you trying to control? Your kids, your grown-up kids, your kids, how they raise the grandbabies, your finances, your job, your future, your spouse. Don't chew your gum like that. That's me right there, y'all. I hate smacking gum. I'm like, hey, quit. All right, Smacky, quit, right? And that's, whew. Maybe you're trying to control your image, what people see about you. Maybe you're, there's so many things that you're trying to control that we could possibly put in that place. I want to give you three questions, and then I'm going to stop. And I got to hurry, man. I talked a lot. Y'all ready for me to hurry? No? Okay, I'll go really slow. A little faster. I want you to ask yourself, is it worth my concern? We get upset about things that aren't really worth getting upset about a lot of times, I think. For example, I know none of y'all do this, but maybe is it really worth getting upset about because somebody didn't fold the clothes the right way, to clothe the towels. You don't fold the towels that way. You fold them this way. Look, at least I folded them, right? Right? They're supposed to be folded like this. It has to be this way. It has to be like that. Is it really worth that argument, that problem, that issue? Or do we have more pressing things to be concerned about? 5 years from now, do you remember that they didn't fold their laundry right? You probably even forgot they folded them. Like, if you just be real, like, you never folded them. Remember that one time 5 years ago? You got mad at me, said it wasn't right, so I ain't doing it again, right? Don't do that either, y'all. That's bad. I had a struggle with this, and now I've just given up on it, y'all. When I first met my wife, man, my truck and my car was spotless. I washed it, I waxed it, I did all kind of stuff. You look at my car today, you'd be like, I think you're lying, right? My kids get Cheerios in the car. They leave chocolate in the car. They leave sour gummies in the car. They leave chocolate milk that spills on the carpet so it stinks for like a month. Am I mad at them? I'm not real happy. But how do I treat them because they've done it? What's my reaction to them? It could be, you don't do anything right. You always mess up my stuff. We can't ever have nice things at our house. The last one, I've said that before. We can't ever have nice things because all y'all do is break it or get slime on it, right? Because they make slime. You got slime, then that's for real, y'all. It was my kitchen table, and we can't ever have nice things in our house. Is that something that I should have said? No. Was that a wise choice? No. Because now my daughter thinks that she can't do anything right sometimes. Is it really that important that I have slime on a table that I've had for 17 years that's not that great anyway? We would get a new table, except they'll get slime on it. So, right? Is it really that big of a deal? Do I need to control them that much? Do I need to make my life drive me crazy and everybody else that's around me crazy because I have to control this certain area and it has to be done like this? There's going to be a day I wish that they would get slime on my table. There's some people whose kids aren't here now to get slime on their table. I'm going to tell y'all a true story. It's a sad story. Y'all ready? I'm already crying, and I wasn't even thinking about the story yet. It's rough. There was a man, and this is a true story. He wanted to take her dad's boat out on the lake. Dad just got a fancy, amazing boat. It had flotation devices. It was supposed to be impossible to sink. You know, look, y'all remember the Titanic. If it's on water, it can sink. But just go with me. It's supposed to be impossible to sink. Had the latest equipment and gear. It was nice, and it was brand spanking new. And she wanted to take it out. And the dad said to the dad, "No, you're not messing up my new boat. Take out the aluminum boat with your friends. You take that old one out." And she took it out, and a bad storm came out of nowhere. The boat capsized at the bottom of the lake along with the man's daughter, and she lost her life that day. She had asked for the unsinkable boat, but Dad said, "It's not really worth it. That's important." to me. I don't want you to mess it up. But you know what? That man would give anything, anything, to have that decision over again, that choice over again. Is it really worth it? The things that we argue over, the things that we try to control, the things that we try to have, that we have to have in our life. Second thing, is it mine to control? Is it mine to control? Something that we need to think about, because honestly, sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in giving things up and quitting on things, right? There's a big difference in giving God control, surrendering control, or relinquishing responsibility. And a lot of times we do that. It doesn't mean that we let go of the responsibility of those things. If you messed up, man, you got to own it, right? You reap what you sow, Scripture says. But we have so many choices, so many things, so many opportunities. And this is the thing, man. When we just like the sandwich, man, when we give God our lives and then we just say that we want to take it back, that we want to handle it, that we want to do it, you know what? God lets us do it. He doesn't control us. It's called free will. We have it. I can choose to follow him. I can choose not to. I can choose to be good to my wife. I can choose not to. I can choose to take care of my kids. I can choose not to. He doesn't force me to do anything. He never will. But he does tell us over and over and over in the Scriptures to let him take care of. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. The Lord will fight your battles for you. You need only be silent. Time and time again, it says, hey, let God handle the situation. I can't earn my salvation. I only have it because God gave it to me through his son. Right? And I can do everything I can to try and earn it. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to frustrate myself and make everybody else mad. Promise. That's what happens. I need to understand that God is going to take care of me. That I need to understand the things in my life that are mine to help and to control and the things that aren't. Do you know when you look at everything you have in your life in the right perspective, it changes everything. I'm gonna share a little secret with you. I mean, I've shared it before, and it's probably not a secret. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. Everything, I'm gonna use myself. Everything that I own belongs to God. My kids, he gave them to me to be a good steward of. They're his kids, right? And some people argue and disagree, and that's okay. You do what you want to do. That's what I get from the Scripture. That's how I live my life. I'm not trying to put it on you. You live what you believe the Word tells you. My wife, he gave me a gift to be a good steward over, to take care of. And the problem is in relationships that one is a good steward and one's a giver and one's a taker, right? And then the relationships don't work. But this is the thing. When both people are givers in the relationship, when the husband gives what he needs to and should to the wife, and the wife gives what she needs to and should to the husband, and they give to each other, everything is taken care of. And that happens in any relationship. Any relationship. But when one becomes a taker, the relationship is not what it should be. It may stay. It may last for a while, long time even. But it's not what it ever should be or could be. If we understand that most of the things that we're trying to control don't even belong to us, it may be easier for us to let them go. If we understand that our relationships, our finances, that everything that we have in our life, the people, the house that I have, the car that I own, this building that he's given us to come and meet in, if I understand that it belongs to God, maybe a little bit easier for me to let go of control of things and allow God's plan to work on it, because it ultimately belongs to him, right? What's the scripture from Crown? The earth is the Lord and all that is in it. Y'all need to take Crown class, y'all, I'm telling you. Maybe your finances in trouble. Maybe you need to get a second job because you messed them up. And you need to be faithful with them from now on. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Maybe you need to get on your knees and pray. Not God change them because they're messed up. Maybe it's changed my heart and the way that I view things. Work on me. Maybe you need to go to counseling. Maybe talking about it will help. There's a ton of different things that we can do, and it's not giving up. It's allowing God to have control of it. Ask yourself quite honestly, is it mine to control? So the first thing, is it worth my concern? Second thing, is it mine to control? And the third is this, is it for God alone? Is it for God to take care of? A lot of the areas that we deeply try to control, again, belong to God. And that these last two points kind of go together. I understand that. But it's one thing to say that we surrender our lives and give our lives to God, and it's another one to do it. It's a complete another one to do it. Apostle Paul writes these things about surrendering. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we do that, what happens? It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. The New Living Translation says like this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. I'm gonna squirrel it again for a minute. Y'all ready? I think that we insult God when we say all we can do now is pray. In my mind, when things like that come from me, this is me. I see him looking down at me, like shaking my head, like, "Come on, man, you don't even understand. Like, you don't get it. You should come to me first." Yes, have y'all ever messed anything up before, really, really bad, and was scared to go get somebody that you knew could help you to get it because you were scared of what they was gonna say? Like, I'm not gonna tell you how I know this situation about bubbles coming out of a washing machine. But if you put the wrong stuff in a washing machine, you get bubbles everywhere. And if you don't stop the washing machine, the bubbles just keep coming. And if you try to clean the bubbles up before anybody sees, and you don't stop the washing machine, and you're still trying to clean bubbles, let's just say bubbles go everywhere. When if we would have come to the person that knew how to turn the machine off in the first place, we would have a lot less bubbles to clean. I mean, I'm not saying how I know this wisdom. I'm just telling you. It's wisdom. And we can apply that in every area of our lives, man. If we would go to God at the beginning of our issue, the beginning of our struggle, when our struggle is small, it would never get big. All we can do now is pray. Prayer should be our first line of defense. Somebody comes to you, I've got an issue, I've got a problem, let's pray about it. Let's pray right now. Well, what good does that do? God hears us. God answers us. We prayed a couple prayers yesterday, me and a couple of other people, because we needed strength to do what we were doing yesterday. Now, I did cry a little bit, y'all, but it wasn't like I could control it yesterday, you know, a little bit, sort of, in moments, right? And you say, well, that doesn't really mean nothing. He don't answer nothing. Man, he cares about everything. Same way I care about everything about my kid. I pray when my dog gets sick, y'all. I do. Because I know he cares about anything. Anything I care about, he cares about. Prayer should be our first line of defense. We should go to him first. It says this in verse 7 again. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When there's something we can't control, then that's when we go to him and say, God, it's yours to control. Here you go. You can have it. Right? We need to say that at the beginning. I give this to you. I trust you. Your word says this. Your word says that about my situation. If you don't know what his word says, this and that, if you don't know what the this and that is right now, get in your word and find it. I'm going to encourage you to do that. Say, how do I do that? If you want to know something about prayer and you want to know something about his promises, look up some Bible studies about promises. Listen, look at the scriptures that are there and then go in the word and find them and read the context around them to make sure that they're used in the right way. Amen? Read the story. Read what's going on in that situation. Read the principle of how that promise is to work in your life. That's in every area. When we give those things to God, what happens? He does things that we can't even imagine. That we can't even imagine. And then people come to us and say, how are you able to do so good in this situation? I know your situation. How are you able to do that? I don't know. I couldn't handle that situation. I couldn't go through that. It's this, it's that, it's this. And we can say, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Can you change your spouse? Some think you can, but let me help you. You can't. But God can. Now, don't go to him like, I'm praying for you. God's going to change your heart. No, just keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself and just pray. And just pray. Because what happens? Trying to control the situation, trying to make people do things, makes them miserable, drives people away, causes bigger issues and problems. But if we give it to God and allow him to change things, God can change anything. Amen? Amen? Can you heal yourself? No, you can't, but God can. Is it worth my concern? Is it mine to control? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, Father God, I ask that you would show us the issues and the problems that we have. The areas that we try to control, that we try to hold on to, Father God. Let us see the things that you've placed in our lives to be a good steward over and help us to do it, Father God. Help us to understand that everything we have because you have given it to us to be faithful with. And that the things that we're trying to control, the things that we're trying to do, Father God, it doesn't do anything but mess our situations up. You be honest today and say, man, I've got some areas that I'm trying to control that I need to get rid of. I need to give it to God. I need to let him have it. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Hands all over. Dear Heavenly Father, you see our hands. You know our issues even better than we do, Father God. And right now, we ask that you would take these. Let us see you moving and working. Holy Spirit, help us to know the difference in putting our hands on it, letting go of it and giving it to God, and just not doing what we should be doing. Sometimes that's difficult as well. Help us to see the areas, the things that we need to do, Father God, the obedience that's in your word that we need to follow so that we can see you working in our lives. Open our eyes. And then the areas that we've messed up in the past, Father God, help us. Help us change. Help us to choose, Father God, to choose you. Today, you need to give your life to Christ. Your life isn't where it should be. You want him to be your Lord and Savior today. You be honest and say, that's me. I need to accept him today. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Two hands raised this morning. Anybody else? I need to give my life to him. I want you all to repeat this after me. Romans, I'm going to tell you this first. Romans 9:10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want you all to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Your son died and rose again so that I could have access to you. Help me now be who you created me to be. Help me choose your way over my way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give those who accepted Christ a hand in the house this morning. Again, if you'll take that card out and write on the card and put, today, my dedication, I decided to follow Christ, or I decided to renew my commitment to Christ. And this is what I want us to do. Let's let God have control of our lives this week. Let's let God lead us in some ways. As we walk out these doors and talk to people, let's allow His love, grace, and mercy to come out of our lives so that everyone will look at our lives and say, something is different. What is it? Something is different. What you have, I need it in my life. I want whatever it is. What is it that you do? Because you know what? When we see something we like, that's what we do, right? I'm sorry, I'm talking again. We see somebody that we know was overweight and they've lost a lot of weight. We go up to them. What do we say? What did you do? How did you do this? I want to do this. How did you do this? Now, the discipline for us to do it afterwards might be a whole other ball game, right? Right? But we see something. We like it. We say, where? How? My wife says, like, I like that lady's shirt. I'm like, well, go ask her where she got it. She's like, no. I ain't gonna. I'm like, man, where'd you get your shirt? My wife likes it, you know? She's like, stop it. That's just how we work. But it's one of those things. We see things and we say, that's what I want to have for me. When people see our lives outside of these doors, they should look at it and say, that's that marriage that you have, that's what I want for me. How does that happen? How does that happen? The peace that you have in the midst of this situation, how does that happen? You know, one more thing I'm going to say about Papa Torrance from yesterday, and I said it again. The one thing that I wish that I had from him more than anything, right? Because we're a culmination of the people that we've been around and with the things we've liked, maybe even some of the things we don't like, they're a part of our lives, and that's who we are from the choices that we've made, right? And yesterday, Mrs. Pat, so I went to bend down and console her at the funeral. I walk up, she's sitting on the front row, she's crying. I go out and put my hands down, and I bend down, and before I could say anything, you know what she said to me? She said, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Right? Papa Torrance was the same way. Battling cancer, going through all kinds of issues, chemo, all these different things. Called him on the phone. He said, man, how are you doing? I'm praying for you, Toby. Right? I get a phone call from him. Things going crazy. There's a couple guys that I get phone calls from. It seems like they have Toby's in trouble meters inside of them. And it's just, they call. I'm like, hey, dude, are you all right? How are you doing? I just was thinking about you. You know what? Those are the times that I need it the most. And in the midst of the lives that battles, that things are going on, and they care about other people, that's who we should be as Christ followers, right? In the midst of Jesus on the cross, do you know what he thought about? Me and you. Salvation that we got to have. Job's problems, according to Scripture, turned around when he did what? Prayed for his friends. Cared about others. People should see that in our lives. People should see that in our lives. Now I'm going to pray and shut up. And then we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a song. And we're going to sing a song to get us out of here, an exciting song. And we're going to attack hell with a water pistol. Y'all ready? Ready. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you'd help us, Father God. As we walk out these doors, as we go out and people see us, Father, let them see you in our lives. Allow us to choose your way over our way, Father God. Allow us to see you moving and working, and help us with it now. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's sing.